You know, I remember when I was in the third grade, we had to pick a book to write a book report on. And I wrote mine on Al Green's autobiography, which I don't think was even an option, but that's what I did. I'm going to butcher what the book is really about, but I'm just having this third grade memory after you asked that question of like sort of interpreting from what I was reading the polarization of his light and his dark, you know, his spiritual sacred part that wanted so deeply to like cling to the Lord or the idea, his idea of the Lord, you know, his idea of spirituality, and the other part of him that was just like a sort of like, you know, unhinged, like soul rocker. I feel like a pretty wholesome girl, and I also have like this uncontrollable edge at times, and it's been this funny thing to like find acceptance in that in my life.
Welcome to Curious Goldfish, a podcast community where music and curiosity come together through interesting conversations with the music makers of our world. I'm your host, Jason English. You can find Curious Goldfish in all the major podcast and social media platforms. And of course, we have all of our content on our website, curiousgoldfish.com. From beauty queen to dancing queen would be an accurate headline for Serena Wages if someone were to write a story about the young singer-songwriter from Memphis, Tennessee. But just as headlines are tools to get someone's attention, a headline like that doesn't tell the entire story when it comes to Serena, who is launching her solo career this spring with a tour in the Southeast ahead of her album debut, The Vanity Project. Yes, her beauty is striking, and yes, I'm sure she likes to dance, but there's much more to Serena than her pageant days, and there's much more to her music than her ability to shake a leg, like she does on the music video of her first single, Carried Away. First, she's all about Memphis. She might one day be a better ambassador for Memphis than Mark Cohn or Sam Phillips of legendary Sun Records. She's also all about making a statement about her hometown, her singing voice, her voice as a songwriter, and the impact she hopes to have on the music industry for the next several decades. We talk a lot about all that in our conversation that we had in the back room at Eddie's Attic in Atlanta, literally moments before she was about to kick off the tour. You can see the passion and hunger in her eyes, and she wants to prove a lot of people wrong. It's just as palpable as the love and respect she has for the home of the blues and the birthplace for rock and roll. And she can freaking sing. Just fire up the song River Bends on your favorite streaming service, and if you aren't struck by her soulful, sultry voice in the first few lines, you might not have a pulse. She has a couple of singles out now at the time of this episode being published, and I'm so excited because we have recordings of both Carried Away and Robin Hood from the Eddie's Attic show following our conversation with Serena. Her album will be out in May 2024. Please find her on Instagram and follow her on Spotify. Serena Wages. From beauty queen to dancing queen. Let's dive in. Serena, so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you.
Welcome to Atlanta.
Thank you. I love it here.
I can't believe we're literally minutes away from your opening night on the tour, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how exciting is this?
So exciting, and I haven't slowed down enough to process it until right now. So here we go.
I mean, what emotions do you have? How long have you been preparing for this?
Well, I've just been trying to put out a record and to really do the solo project that I've always wanted to do for, you know, my entire life. So this year is a big year for me. It's really kind of the launch of my career. In my mind, the soft launch, the grassroots launch, the very, you know, independent style launch. But it's been a big couple months, and this tour kind of brings it all to fruition. So, yeah. Super stoked.
I mean, yeah, it's a big moment. I'm excited to see you, and you're with Lily Winwood.
Yeah.
How long have you known her?
We have been friends for many years. I don't know, 10 years probably.
Okay.
We got really close in Nashville. We both lived there for a time and played festivals together and have, you know, played many gigs together and written songs together. And she's like a sister. So.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Well, so I've tried to do a little research. There's not much on you.
Good. I've gotten all the bad stuff wiped.
Yeah, there's not a lot, but there's, you know, I've got a couple things to work off of. Actually, couple hours ago, you posted something that I want to ask you about.
Yeah, okay.
So this Instagram post, it was a picture of you, you know, after you arrived here, and you're like, on the road to share the damn gospel about Memphis, Tennessee. Hallelujah, amen.
That's right.
All right, so what's the gospel about Memphis?
I mean, I just, you know, I'm a born and raised Memphis girl. I grew up in the country just north of, like, downtown Memphis, and I lived in Nashville for so long, and I love Nashville, and I work there every single week. I drive in for rites and sessions, and it's such an easy commute to go over there and to get to kind of be immersed in, like, such a competitive and amazing industry. I'm grateful for Nashville, but when I returned back home to Memphis, I finally started feeling like myself again, and it's what gave me the fuel to do what I'm doing now, to make this record honestly and to put it out into the world in an honest way. And there's an organization in Memphis called Music Export Memphis, and their primary focus is to export our city's most natural resource, which we would, you know, say is our arts and our artists. And so they've helped fund me on this tour. So I,
that's incredible.
Yeah, I was just shouting them out, a little thank you to Elizabeth and Morgan and the whole crew and all the donors in Memphis who help Memphians spread some good publicity to the rest of the country. You know, Memphis gets a lot of bad press.
Do you think it does?
And it's the greatest city in the world in my mind.
All right.
So to get to share what artists in Memphis are doing with other parts of the country is really, really cool.
That's cool. Yeah, on your website, you talk about Memphis as part of the tapestry of your...
It is.
Right?
Yeah, so, it really is. Yeah. There's just something different. I don't even know how to properly articulate it, but growing up, you know, in Millington near Shelby Forest, which is like right on Mississippi River, and growing up like in my dad's Cadillac, his old Cadillac, he'd drive me around and play Al Green songs and Staple Singer songs, and then he'd play me the country artists who had made records in Memphis, and kind of hearing this mix of country and soul and taking whatever little bits I could get from all of these, you know, these medicinal artists that I was fed as a child, and kind of just like subconsciously cultivating that into what my sound is now. It's affected me musically, but also the people are different. It's a slower pace, and it's raw, and it's gritty, and it's imperfect, and it's got an underdog mentality that I really resonate with, and it's just, there's just something special about it. And I don't work for the city. It's just how I feel.
Love it. All right. Well, so the Delta, I actually live near the Chattahoochee River.
Okay.
And there is something mystical about a river, right?
Yes.
Like the energy. And, you know, if you've seen that, I don't know if you've seen that documentary on Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Where they talk about the mud and then the sound's different, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you believe in stuff like that?
I do. I think there's something in the water, you know, and I always say, people always say, what genre of music are you? And with this new record, I've stopped responding to that question because it's just so limiting. So I say, I make music for the river fairies because the mysticism is so real to me. And since I was a little girl and to now, you know, I was recently shooting my album cover, and my dear friend Matthew Burdine took me across the Mississippi River to shoot it on the banks, and he's, you know, just a river guide and a brilliant mind and a spiritual soul. And we were just resonating together over like how much mystery and inspiration and energy there is in that body of water. And I totally could get woo woo all day long.
How old were you when you sort of realized it was different?
I was a little girl. My dad would tell me stories. You know, we would drive through Shelby Forest and go out to like the, what we had as like a little beach, you know, if the water was low enough, there was a little beach out there. And he would talk about the river fairies and, you know, the swamp people and all these like beautiful folk tales and whatnot. So I still find it to be true and helpful.
All right.
It still inspires me, you know?
So your album's coming out in May.
May 24th.
It's called The Vanity Project. Yes. The cover is really interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to piece a couple things together. Tell me if I'm off. So was that photo shoot on the river?
Yeah, that was the
okay,
one.
That was the one you're talking about. Okay. And so your outfit is interesting because it's and I think your website alludes to this too, but a harken back, if you will, to your pageant days with the sash
yeah.
with the name of the album, which is Vanity Project. So What's going on in that image?
So I was raised in Tennessee beauty pageants, and by no means did I have one of those toddlers and tiaras type families. My parents didn't, like, you know, it wasn't that at all, but it was that I wanted to sing since I was a little girl, and that was kind of an opportunity to find a stage to sing on, because, you know, in the South, that's sort of, if a girl wants to perform, they're like, well, put her in, you know, pounds of makeup at age 4 and stick her on stage and give her a microphone. And so I kind of fell into that a little bit, and then as I got into high school, it got pushed on me a little bit harder. But yeah, I did some beauty pageants, which I always joke that I'll die in therapy over.
oh my gosh.
It is the opposite of my true personality. Oh my gosh. I don't wish that upon anyone, but Vanity Project was sort of not just about the pageants, but sort of just a through line to the whole experience that I felt like I had and so many women and people have growing up in the South, especially in the Bible Belt. It was sort of just more a metaphor to the idea of a woman's role and how limiting the narrative around that has been for this part of the country and many others. And so, yeah, I just wanted to get a little middle finger back at that, but also, I don't know, pay homage to it in this very characterized, artful way. And as far as the title itself, there was, I was getting ready to make the record, and I hadn't yet written a song called Vanity Project, but I'd written a batch of songs, 3 or 4, and I got pitched to a couple music business people, and one said, well, she's just a vanity project, right? And I was so unsurprised to hear that, because I've heard it so many times, but that was also before he'd listened to the songs. But I was so grateful that he said that, because instantly.
Yeah, there's inspiration.
You know, like I've always been a bit of a rebel. So if you kind of make me angry.
Where does that come from? Do you think that a comment like that, is that insecurity on him? Is that just, you know, traditional dumb male thinking? Like where do you think he was coming from that?
You know, I don't know. And he's probably a perfectly fine and talented guy. And so no disrespect to that guy, because he's heard me interview about him 100 times. And there's many of him, right? But it was just, it's just how we limit others before we
give him a shot.
Do a little bit more of a deep dive, you know? And so, I don't know. I think if you show up as a woman not ready to present yourself in a striking way, then you're not worthy of being an artist. And then if you show up, you know, with heels and eyelashes on, and then you get dismissed as not being the smart one or the artistic one or the, you know, intellectual type, which is not true.
Right.
So, right. Yeah.
What's an outcome that you're looking for out of this tour and then the rest of the year? Like if you were to look back a year from now, what would make it a great year for you?
For the tour, first I'll say I've been so busy. You know, I'm kind of my own record label right now, and I didn't go the traditional path of pitching to a bunch of labels before releasing this record. I worked with this New Century as a consulting agency, and we decided to, with our limited funds, create our own little label 360 rollout plan and sort of try to delegate all the things that a label would delegate to independent hires and create our own whole little release strategy here. So we've worked really, really hard. And in order to fund that, I've worked multiple day jobs, you know, like so many artists do, right? But I've been picking up extra of the side hustles in order to fund the main hustle. And so it's been really hectic and busy on the administrative side. And I'm really looking forward to on tour being able to play guitar and write new songs and refill the well. And then just for this year, it's year one for me. It's like, I always quote, my dad used to drop me off at school and say, kick the door down and tell him Dewey sent you, which is a sign off from an old Memphis radio DJ. And it just meant like go in boldly and loudly and give him hell, you know? And so I've never been able to do that. I've never had the agency or the confidence or the material to do that. And I have all of those things now. And it's my year to start, to my baby level start and just hopefully grow and move the needle.
You know? Someone... I don't know how old you are, but someone I would assume old. You're in your age group. Do you obsess or do you worry, or are you kind of watching numbers like Instagram followers, streams? You know, do you get caught up in that, or is it you're like, listen, I can't control it. I'm just going to go do what I want to do.
Yes and no, right? Like I'd be such a liar if I pretended to be one of those people who's like, I don't care. I just want to, make my art. And I guess I wish I was that pure.
Right.
Right. And in some ways, I am so pure in the way that I'm pursuing all of this. But I also want to turn what's not currently, you know, a career into a real career.
Yeah,
you know,
do it. Yeah,
I want access to a lot of people, and I want to be able to share my story with more ears, new ears. And so, of course, I want the annoying word that the industry uses, metrics. I want metrics to start to favor me, because that means the opportunity to speak to more people and
sure.
to be able to keep doing this, you know. So, yeah, I want it to grow. That's what I think we all want to happen, if we're being honest with ourselves. But at the same time, like, I've learned the hard way after my Nashville years, I can't lead with desperation. I can't just do this one thing because it'll get me in the door, quote unquote, because I've gone down that path and I've signed the really bad deals and I've
right.
gotten in the horrible production situations and I've lost a decade to the machine and the system because I didn't have the wisdom.
Yeah.
And I'm older now and I've learned and I'm happy to do it a bit differently this time.
So you mentioned this is your first solo album and sort of tour on as a solo artist. You did some work with your brother.
Yeah.
Right. The Lost Wages.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, tell us about that. And was that part of the Nashville time, or did that precede Nashville?
Yeah. So my brother lives in LA. He's 10 years older than me. He lived in LA. I was living in Nashville and I was dating a wonderful guy at the time, who's one of the most talented musicians I've ever met in my life. And my brother came into town for a beauty pageant. I forgot. Oh my God.
It all comes back
Miss
to
Tennessee.
That.
Oh God gosh. Almighty. I can't escape it.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, I lost, thank God. And I lost. And then we all sat in the hotel room and like drank Miller High Lifes all night, you know? And they were like, we got to get you out of this. Like, this isn't you. And I'm like, you're right. And I think the next week we were all back in Nashville and, Houston. My brother was still, you know, visiting from LA, and I was there with Gabe, my ex, and we all sat down in Gabe's apartment and wrote like a record in a week and recorded it and played a show and got a management deal on accident. Didn't even have a band name kind of thing. So it started like that. And then, that morphed into just my brother and I as that relationship ended
sadly.
And, yeah, those were crazy, interesting times. We got put into the system and spit out of the system, and we didn't have the financial backing we thought we had. We thought we just had to do whatever, you know, the suits told us to do in order to get our chance. We just wanted a chance, you know, and we learned the hard way that they'll strip all the art right away from you and you'll just become another, like,
number
mannequin wearing a cowboy hat, you know.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Yeah, sometimes.
True story.
So I'm in the corporate world. Sometimes to sort of win in the corporate world, you have to be anti-corporate. You know,
yeah. Let me.
You
sort of
have to. You have to like disrupt. You know, you have to disrupt like a sales cycle. So if you know, I'm in sales, so I sell big IT projects. And corporate world wants you to follow a very specific process to sort of position your services, right? Sometimes you have to do it, but when I look back on my career, the times when we actually went outside the process and came in from the left side or the right side and disrupted it and kind of did it our way, people pay attention. Like, oh yeah, you guys are different. We want to work with you kind of thing. So it's,
and you have to have, I think wisdom and experience gives you that agency, right? Is that how you felt? Or did you
confidence.
Have that right out the gate?
Confidence. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you kind of have to fake it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love the way you said that first line. Yeah. That's so good. And so true. And a hard lesson learned, you know?
Well, yeah. But here you are.
Yeah.
At
still kicking,
minutes away from Eddie's Attic opening. just a couple more questions. So you mentioned your brother. Do you come from a family of musicians and music?
I come from a family of wildly creative, eccentric, just dominant personalities. yes, my mom, she has played piano and been a singer her whole life, never professionally, and really never outside of the church for limited years. And she was actually in a really bad car wreck and it damaged her vocal cords, so that's a whole other part of the story. But you know, but she's just a creative, she's a designer and a decorator and just like a little Hollywood on the back porch in Millington, Tennessee. She's just such a character. And then my father is such an artist who never found his art form, that it's wild. He's, I guess his art form I could say is he's a trial attorney, And he's just, but he's an old hippie, you know, and he's knows more about music than I could ever know. And he's probably in Memphis, Tennessee right now, dancing on the back porch to like Sly and the Family Stone, you know, and just writing like wonderful poems. And he's just brilliant. So, and then both of my brothers are creatives, and my poor parents, I, like, surely they thought one of us would get a real job, you know, but we, none of us did.
Well, that's all awesome. But you have such an interesting background. Not everybody is going to take the time. Well, hopefully they do, but take the time to read your website and stuff. But I saw this on Spotify and your website. I'm going to read this out for everybody, because this, when I read this, I'm like, oh gosh, she's kind of a badass. So it's like, you're talking about your family. The wages were run out of North Carolina for stealing horses and other boorish behavior. We settled in North Mississippi and evolved into three groups: the preachers, the drunks, and the outlaws. And then kind of a mid-range group. I came from the mid-range group. What does that mean? Is it a mix of all that?
You know, I remember when I was in the third grade, we had to pick a book to write a book report on. And I wrote mine on Al Green's autobiography, which I don't think was even an option, but that's what I did. And I remember, I'm going to butcher what the book is really about, but I'm just having this third grade memory after you asked that question of like sort of interpreting from what I was reading the polarization of his light and his dark, you know, his spiritual sacred part that wanted so deeply to like cling to the Lord, or the idea, his idea of the Lord, you know, his idea of spirituality. And the other part of him that was just like a sort of like, you know, unhinged, like soul rocker, you know, and kind of like his life, how it's the pendulum sort of swung between those two things and still does. And I resonated with that light and dark thing. And it feels like
in third grade.
Jeez. Yeah. It was a really heady child.
You didn't belong in the pageant world.
Absolutely not.
I mean, that's the perfect example. What are you doing?
But yeah, I think there's something to that, something in that middle ground, in that middle space between the wild cards and the ones who really try to cling to the goodness. Like I feel like a pretty wholesome girl, and I also have like this uncontrollable edge at times, and it's been this funny thing to like find acceptance in that in my life. And
but we're humans, right? That's part of the human experience, I think, right?
I think when we tell the truth and when we let ourselves introspect and we let ourselves come unglued, sometimes we see all the colors in the 360, right? It's just we so often suppress those parts, but for better or for worse, they've come out.
Well, curiosity is a big part of this, you know, what I'm trying to do here, just talking to different musicians and the whole tie back into the Ted Lasso show. So, you know, I'm not sure if you watched all that, but, you know, curiosity, I think, is underrated in life. I think you've experienced a lot in your young life. You've got your life ahead of you, your career ahead of you. I have no doubt when you're going to win the Grammy, you're going to remember this moment at Eddie's Attic.
I'm sure
on the start of the tour.
You're very good at this, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, they're really great.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you just made my day.
You should definitely keep doing this for a long time.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, that's awesome. So what are you curious about?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so curious about so many things, but I love the concept of this podcast. I think that word, curiosity, is so powerful as a pillar of what this podcast is about. And I think I'm curious about, this is going to sound cliche, but the freedom of curiosity and how so many people don't embody it. I think, you know, small town religion can do that to you too, right? That doubt is where Satan's coming in, right? And like,
yeah, it's fear. Yeah, it's fear based.
I mentioned as a heady little girl, when someone tells me, "Don't doubt," that's Satan speaking to you. Like, I really internalized that, and so what I heard there was, "Don't use your mind. Don't expand. Expansion is dangerous, right? So limit and play by the rules, and be in the pageant and wear the dress and be skinny enough and smile and hug that stranger and always be sweet and good girl this and good girl that." And I think that whether it's like Southern religious culture or it's just, you know, culture of women and other marginalized parties in the country, whether it's just part of being human, like, I don't want to limit it to some kind of, you know, agenda that I have here, because I don't. It's really just that, like, The freedom to be curious about your own story and how we help other people feel safe enough to introspect into themselves about that. I think we button people up a lot and we tell them to like die on their white horse, you know? And I fell off the white horse so long ago that it's been easier for me. You hit a rock bottom and you're like, well, right. What's there to lose, right? But so many people haven't faced that. And I feel like you could live a whole life unexamined, you know? And I'm really curious about how to write songs, how to have conversations like this one, how to read books and share love and share listening for others and ears for others in order to spark a little bit more freedom for people to be curious. So
that's really good. Curiosity takes effort, right? And yeah. So I think the easy thing is to be told what to think, what to believe, how to act, and then kind of follow that, you know. That's but your point earlier though about, you know, light and the dark, we all want to be good people, we all want to, I think, service each other, but we are human. Mm-hmm. And it's not about being like a horrible person, but it's like there are temptations, there are things that you want to try and experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just part of living, you know.
Yeah, you got one of these things right, or maybe we have 10, I don't know.
Right. Well, no, yeah, we all, you know.
Maybe we'll come back next time as that plant on the roof of Eddie's attic. I'm not really sure, but the one we got right now, yeah, I'm ready to turn over each stone.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that how you put that, the freedom of curiosity, because in a lot of cultures, especially in the Bible Belt, in the South, in the Midwest, yeah, there's not that freedom, you know. And again, at this stage in my life, one of the reasons I'm doing this is, did you ever see the movie Almost Famous?
Yes, of course.
So I was a journalist for a hot second out of college, and it was my favorite job because I learned so much so fast, mm-hmm. right? But I raised a family, and you know, I decided to pursue another career in technology. But I always wanted, when I grew up, I always wanted to be William Miller.
Of course.
Chasing the band around with a microphone.
Yes.
And now, you know, I have a full-time job, I have a full-time career, but at this stage, I'm like, I'm doing it, yeah. You know, and I have that, I feel like I have that freedom now. Mm. To be curious, because I don't know how to write songs. I don't know how you make money in the music business.
Well, I don't either.
I didn't know anything about you really until 2 days ago, right? And here we are. So that's, yeah, I feel that freedom, and I'm really sort of inspired by how you put that. Yeah.
Well, likewise, and I mean, I think I love the quote, which I actually think was like a misinterpretation from a ancient quote, but I've heard and I've sort of adopted. Find what you love and let it kill you, because you got to have that Eros in life, right? Like I have Eros tattooed on my arm after I read this Esther Perel book about finding your life force and your zest. And my gosh, you know, like if you play by the rules for forever and think that you have to kind of like sign up for the one thing at, you know, 18, 20 and never get to discover other parts of yourself later in life and do things you've never done and do things that allow for conversations like this, right. That are, like we said, expansive and interesting. And I don't know. It's really cool. I'm inspired by you.
Oh, like, no, thank you.
Very rock and roll of you.
No. Well, thank you. I'm the least rock and roll person you'll ever meet.
This is pretty rock and roll. Hey, right. You just, hit me up. And then I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, that's pretty rock and roll.
Yeah, let's do it.
And you moved to the South. So you're very smart.
All right. Well, yeah, it's great. It may not be like Memphis, apparently. I need to go spend time in Memphis. Yeah,
the city should pay me for how lovingly I speak about it.
Well, your album is out in May. You've got a single out called Carried Away with a killer music video.
Thank you.
Was that all your friends?
Those are my friends.
Yeah, it looked like it. Yeah. You guys are having too much fun.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully everybody can check that out and knock them dead.
Thank you so
much. Wish you the best.
I appreciate it. Cheers. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
It's such a joy to be here. It's a Tuesday night and y'all showed up. Thank you so much for supporting original artists who are trying to make a run at this damn thing. It's not easy, but it's a lot easier because of people like you guys. So thank you for being here. It's been really cool to be here. So I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. From the country part just north of there called Shelby County, North Shelby County. This song's about that. Hope you dig it. Here we go.
Write these really like angry, like wild songs, and in reality I'm like the most introverted, like people pleaser bleeding heart in the whole world. But that's the cool thing about art and writing, is that you get to put into stories what you want your future self to be, right? And that's how I've made a whole career for myself so far, is having a problem in my life that I can't figure out that I put into a song so that I can listen back to that and try to teach myself what to do next. And so this next song is my first single that came out a week and a half ago. And I remember writing it and feeling like I wanted to be as free and careless and as in my body as this song says the woman is, right? And in reality, I was like in the throes of heartache and suffering and insecurity. And so I wrote what I wanted to become, and it's really cool now to listen to the song out in the world and go, oh, it worked. It became that thing I was writing about. And so now I can sing it from a really grounded place. It's called Carried Away, and it's my first baby little single. And it would mean so much to me if y'all would go find it and share it and stream it. Send it to your friends. Unless you fucking hate it, and you don't have to do that. But if you like it, thank you.
love it.
Never beg a man to stay. Send myself some fucking flowers. My heart is stained glass. I make a love in every color. I'm free and emotional. I got class and a mind of gold. And I get carried away.
Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Curious Goldfish. Please follow and subscribe to the podcast and on social media. Also, tell your music-loving friends about us too. Until next time, stay curious.